Okay, disclaimer, okay? I'm just saying that that line in there, like, I'm looking for something dumb to do. Hey, I think I want to marry you. Guys, I just don't suggest using that one. I don't think it's going to go very, woo! I don't think it's going to go very well. So anyway, marriage is hard enough, right? We don't need to just be jumping into marriage because of some dancing juice. Well, good morning. And we're going to be talking about having fun in marriage and the importance of just having fun in general. And I need to tell you something first about Eric. It takes him a lot to get mad. He's not one of these people that just flies off the handle. That's my job. But what he does is he's kind of like one of those slow brew kind of guys. And so we were in the car and I heard, Julie. And I was like, okay, I'm in trouble. Because, you know, we use babe, sweetheart, you know, like a lot of married couples, we don't really use our first names. I was about to say our real names. And I thought, okay, he's really upset. And he was outside, he was pumping gas at the gas station. We were in Virginia. And I thought, while he was pumping the gas, I thought, okay, I'm going to clean out the car. Because, you know, when you're traveling, you got the papers, the cups, you know, all the garbage. And he likes to keep his car tidy. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to help him out. So I'm taking all the stuff, throw it away into the gas station, you know, garbage can. So he gets back in after the pumping the gas, and he looks down, you know, and he goes, where'd all the papers go? And I went, over there, in the garbage can. And that's when I heard, Julie! And I was like, oh, my goodness. I hopped out of the car, and I went right to the garbage can. And I grabbed, they were right on top, so it was all good, but I grabbed those papers, got back in the car, and it just struck me as so funny because he doesn't get all that mad. And so I got in the car and I kind of started mocking him, Julie, Julie, you know, and that really wasn't making him all that much happier in the situation. Okay, let me tell you how this could have played out, all right? This could have played out where, you know, I get back in the car, you know, and he could have started in with, why are you always doing that? You know, I told you a million times, which he did, not to throw those away. You know, we need to turn those in. It's like, you never listen to me, which sometimes I don't. And so, you know, I could have gone back with, well, you're always leaving stuff laying around the house, which he does. You know, and it's sitting there on the counter, and I have to organize it or throw it away because the mail just sits there, so I have to go through it. Nobody else does, you know. So this could have ended, this could have looked a whole lot different than it did, but for whatever reason, I knew I was in the wrong, because he told me. He did have every right to be frustrated. And so I thought, well, I can't really defend myself because I'm in the wrong here. And so it just struck me as funny. And so now, you know, if we can't find something, I mean, you know, every now and then it's like, or if I have thrown something away that he needed, you know, it's like, Julie. You know, and it's become more of a humorous thing instead of, you know, this thing of angst between us. But in life, and especially in marriage, okay, it is so important. You have got to try to find the funny in the frustrating. And this is our second to last Sunday in our marriage series. We have one more next Sunday. And we've been tackling this idea. You know, can two people stay in love? Yeah, they can get married, they can stay married, and they can stay together, but is it really possible for two people to get married and to stay in love? Because marriage is really hard work. And a lot of you have been doing the Love Dare, which is a huge investment in your marriage. And so if you're not doing it yet, we encourage you to grab a book. They're $8. If you have the $8, great, but they're on the way out by the door. We just highly encourage you. And here's the cool thing. This is not tied to the marriage series at all. So you could pick this up, and you and your spouse, or even just one of you, if your spouse doesn't want to do it, you can do it without your spouse, and it's just a huge investment in your marriage. So we highly encourage you to do that. Even if you have to skip a few days, what Eric and I have noticed is some days are harder than others, and it's almost like it takes you more than a day to kind of process some of this stuff. So, you know, just keep going. We highly encourage you to do that. So this week, we are tackling the idea of, you know, having fun, trying to find the funny and the frustrating, and laughing more. And this is deep, deep theological stuff, okay? This is why Pastor Kurt passed this week off to me. It's true. He was like, Julie, this is intense. Can you take it for me? I said, yes, because it's deep, and we're going to go there. So I need you guys to go there with me so that we can wrap our brains around this idea of having fun in marriage and having fun in your relationships. Because nobody stands at the altar and looks into their groom's handsome face, or you're looking into your bride's beautiful eyes. Neither one of them are thinking, man, just can't wait until we get divorced. Right? I mean, nobody's thinking that. But it happens. You know, how do marriages go from here? You know, this altar high where it's happy and hopeful and promising, you know, and then they get trashed, you know, all the way down low where it's hanging on a thread. You know, what in the world happened from here to here? Life. Life happened. That's it. Just good old life, everyday life, stressful life. It can take a marriage from here to here. You know, loss of jobs, moving across the country away from family, trouble with your kids. Maybe you have different parenting styles. Trouble having kids. Ironically, that can tear a marriage apart. Trouble with the in-laws, debt, money issues, dreams put on hold for your spouse or your partner, right? I mean, all sorts of things, all this life. The single people are like, you are selling this. I can't wait. You are really selling this marriage thing. But what happens is life takes over, right? You leave the altar, you go on your honeymoon, you get settled in, things are great for a while, right? But then life happens. And pretty soon those stressors, the daily grind, right? It kind of takes your focus, and that's really then kind of takes center stage. And pretty soon, you know, that the stress kind of slowly begins, if there's no release, it slowly begins to strangle a marriage. You know, think about when you're not happy, you're not getting your way, you're not having fun, right? What is sometimes our initial reaction to that? You know, I mean, I kind of view it as like we start, you know, like clenching. You know, Pastor Kurt would say clenching of the butt cheeks, but we're not going there, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that posture of like, you're mad, you're frustrated, you're uptight, you're defensive. And if you stay in that posture for any length of time, it will strangle your marriage. It will begin to just suck all the life and the joy out of being with your spouse. But Julie, marriage is serious stuff. If we're going to stay together, I've got to criticize my spouse, right? I've got to point out all the things I don't like about them. I mean, how else are they going to change if I don't tell them what I don't like, right? I mean, you know, happy, fun times, that was dating, that's over. Now we got to get serious. We got to be grown-ups. And besides, you don't understand my marriage, Julie. Ours is so different from everybody else's. He drives me crazy on purpose. She's always nagging, always criticizing me. How else am I supposed to react? How else am I supposed to react? When my son Evan was in middle school, he came home one day, and I guess for a while it had been happening, some of the boys in the gym locker room, surprise, we're teasing him about his height, right? This is nothing new. And it bothered him, of course. And so I was trying to encourage him, and I'm like, you know, Evan, sometimes, you know, the best way sometimes to diffuse those situations is you almost have to make fun of yourself, you know, either before someone does or even when they do, so that you kind of take that power away from them. You know, I said, next time they're teasing you, just come back with something like, yeah, well, thanks, rocket scientist. I hadn't noticed. You know, or thanks for pointing out the obvious. This is my personal favorite, and I'm not quite sure. I mean, there's a part of me that's ashamed, and then there's a part of me that's gleeful. But I did say to him to say this. I said, you know what, Evan, next time they say that, you know, just say to him, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm short. But the good news is I'm going to grow. The bad news, you're stuck with that face. So, humor can totally diffuse a situation, right? Or get you punched in the face, I'm just saying one of the two might happen. But you have to take your chances. Because appropriate humor in many, many scenarios, right, can help defuse a situation. Because here's the thing, humor is an alternative to anger. It doesn't come naturally to us, right? We want to defend ourselves instantly, right? Even when we're in the wrong, we somehow feel like, well, I've got to defend myself. But we can learn to try to approach things and try to have more of finding the humor, finding the funny in the frustrating. Because when you're married to someone, you don't realize it, but we hold our mate up to a higher standard, right? I mean, we just do. It's like, I love this person, I married you, and you got to meet all my needs. I mean, whether we realize it or not, you know, we have a different level for them. And so when they let us down, we're disappointed. It can be crushing at times, right? But here's a tip, okay? Expect your spouse to let you down over and over and over again. And I'm not saying this to be negative, but you're flawed, he's flawed, okay? There's flaws flying all over the place. Okay, so your spouse is going to let you down like you let your spouse down. And if we know this, you're kind of better positioned then to be able to find the funny in the frustrating and react more with humor instead of anger. Because if you dwell, if you stay and dwell on unmet expectations, I'm telling you, I know, it will become a breeding ground for bitterness and resentment. Because God did not design you to complete one another, okay? That's not his design, all right? Despite what Tom Cruise says, okay? You do not complete one another. God designed man and woman to complement one another. His job is to complete us. That's something only he can do. He is the one that we need to draw our value, our worth, our acceptance, that unconditional love, knowing that he will never let us down and he is the only one who will never let us down. You know, we get in trouble when we start looking to people or things to meet all of our needs because that's a hole that only God can fill. Okay, so back to humor, back to fun. These are healthy things for your marriage, okay? Because here's what humor will do for you and your spouse. It will connect you in a deeper way. I mean, think about the times in your life when something funny has happened, whether it's with family or friends, your best friend. How many times do y'all retell that story over and over and over again, right? Maybe every Thanksgiving, the family sits around. You've all heard these stories a million times. But you like telling them over and over again. You get together with your girlfriends, remember when, right? Why in the world do we do that? Because something happened. You were with people, a group. You found the same things funny. You laughed it. You found humor together. And that did something. It bonded you and connected you. We retell those stories not just because they're funny, but because something psychological has happened, right? We feel connected to those people. We feel close to those people when we retell those stories. And so when you have humor in your marriage and try to get more of that into your marriage, you will connect to your spouse on a deeper level. And hopefully that's something, you know, you're catching on, that this is not just for married people, right? This is something we should all be doing. Look for the funny and the frustrating at work, in your relationships, in the gym locker room, right? On the road. I am telling you, I am the worst with road rage. And this construction now on 116th and all the insanity of what they're doing is killing me. Because it's taken me 45 minutes to get home from work, and it should take me like 10. And so I'm sitting there like, you know, stuck, just, you know, car to car to car. And it's like, you could sit there and fume, which I've done. I mean, I'm not saying I don't do it at times. But I have to take a breath sometimes, and I think, okay, this is really frustrating. Let me see if I can find something funny. I look over, and there's a dog in the car next to me, and that is gold for me. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so precious. Look at him. He looks like a passenger sitting there. You know, something to kind of diffuse the situation. When you're sitting there, I challenge you, just try to find something funny because you're going to be sitting there regardless, okay? Laughter is life's shock absorber. It will help you get through those low points in life, in marriage, a whole lot faster. It'll move you through a whole lot quicker. Because if you can laugh at it, you can live with it. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing." Laughter is literally good for your body. Literally. Scientifically, it enhances your mood. It raises good cholesterol, lowers bad cholesterol. It boosts immune activity in your body. It literally lowers the stress hormones in your body. And I find this fascinating. I mean, think about this for a minute with me. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon in 950 BC. Okay, that's almost 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth. And God's word is saying, hey, laughter is good for you. I've designed you. This is good for you. This will help your body. And science, all these thousands of years later, is still confirming the way God designed us. The way God is the architect, put us together, that our brains would find something funny, right? And then it's even different among all of us, what we find funny. But our brains would register something funny, and that it would then produce a physical reaction in us that would then benefit our body. I mean, how many times are you in a stressful situation, right? And something happens and it's pins and needles and you're like, ah, and everybody's stressed. And then somebody says something funny and everybody goes, okay. It literally can de-stress and defuse situations. I find that miraculous. That is like divine design, in my opinion, the way that God made us. So right now, if you're a married couple and you're not funny, I'm sorry. And you might be freaking out. And you're like, well, he's not funny. I'm not funny. You know, Julie, you're not even funny right now. That's how bad we are. Okay, good news. It's okay. You don't have to make each other laugh. Okay, you're not doing stand-up for each other on Friday and Saturday nights. But find something that makes both of you laugh. Find a way to inject some humor into your marriage, because you will find it will bond you on a deeper level. And so this morning, I want us all to bond together. And so we're, for a few minutes, going to watch this guy.
Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to get fat. Last night I was eating a pint of ice cream, and I finished it because I'm American, all right? I took off the lid and I threw it away because I'm not a quitter, everyone. And because I care about the environment. I was conserving energy by not refreezing it. You're welcome. Of course, it was at night. You ever eat ice cream during the day? You're like, what are we, 6 years old? Did we just get our tonsils out? Why are there people around me? Shouldn't I be alone watching Lifetime? Those hoarders, those are the ones with the problem. I was eating a pint of ice cream and sweatpants like a man. My wife came in the room. She was like, Jim, are you going to eat an entire pint of ice cream by yourself? I was like, hopefully. Unless you selfishly want a bite. Jim, you have a 9-year-old daughter. Don't you want to be at her wedding? Not really. No. Wait, is there going to be ice cream at her wedding? Because if you promise, I still don't want to go. How would attending a wedding, why would that be an incentive? It's like, don't you die. There's an awkward party you have to pay for. And we need you to write a check. Now, I understand weddings are an important event where we spend a lot of money so that the bride can pretend to be a princess and marry her prince and live happily ever after, because magic exists. And we're a bunch of weirdos. Weddings are kind of weird. I mean, what's the logic? It's like, well, we love each other. Why don't we pretend we have a kingdom? We'll invite your parents' friends and my parents' friends, and we'll have a banquet. And the two kingdoms shall come together as one. And we can start our married life with a total fantasy before we go on a completely unjustified vacation. It's strange, right? I mean, weddings started off as these crude medieval ceremonies where women, daughters, were exchanged as property. Yet over the course of centuries, they got worse. That's why people cry at weddings. I can't believe we're still wasting money on this. Whenever I see someone crying at a wedding, I would say, don't worry, it probably won't work out.
So I'm not getting any kickback at all, okay? But if you need a date night, Jim Gaffigan is going to be at the end of July at the Bankers Field House. So that's something you could plan. But go see more comedies together. You know, I mean, go watch cat videos. I don't care. I mean, whatever it is that makes each other laugh, you know? And if you have a different sense of humor, find out what makes your spouse laugh and kind of indulge them in that, you know? Do something that neither one of you know how to do, because then there's an even learning curve, okay? And then it's perfect, because then you can laugh at each other, right? And nobody's going to be upset or offended. Having joy and being joyful, I'm just going to tell you, is a whole lot easier when you're a follower of Jesus. Because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. And when you get to the point where you, when you ask God, you accept the sacrifice that Jesus did for your sins, when you embrace that, there's a sense of knowing that you're at peace with your Creator. Joy will begin to grow. God's Spirit is deposited in your heart, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And the longer that you know the Lord, that joy, those fruits become evident in your life, and it has the potential to grow more and more and more. You know, many people are more joyful the longer they walk with the Lord because they have learned that they can trust Him. They know where they're going. They know God will always take care of them. And so as you mature in your faith, your fruit will grow. Unfortunately, many people profess to know Jesus and they act more like they're on death row as opposed to just finding new life. I know Jesus now. Sorry, I can't smile. He died for me, you know. I mean, He was tortured. Nothing's funny anymore. He suffered. So I need to suffer. I mean, do you know believers like that? I mean, really, people? Come on. Jesus' people should be the most joyful, happiest people on this planet. Because when you are at peace with your Creator, when your soul is at peace with your Creator, you are free. Do you know what that feels like? That guilt, that shame that you've carried around maybe for years, when God, as Kurt talked about a few weeks ago, literally lifts that up off of you and carries it away, that is freedom. And free people are happy people. Scripture says absolutely nothing about living a dull, gloomy, unhappy life once you have experienced new life in Christ. In fact, it is the complete opposite. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's going to be several scriptures just coming up on the screens. One of my favorites is the last one. It's John 15:11. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Free people are happy people. You don't have to choose between holiness and happiness. That's not the way it works. God designed and wired you for both. I mean, what good father does not love to see and watch his kids having fun? Being carefree, lighthearted, without a care in the world, no burdens. Good dads like to watch their kids having fun. And we don't talk about it much because it does sound kind of weird to say like God has a sense of humor, but He does. The more that you get to know your Heavenly Father and His character, the more that you read the Bible, you will see that God has an amazing sense of humor. And a lot of this is displayed through the teachings of Jesus. I mean, Jesus was an amazing teacher, amazing storyteller, but He was a great comedian. And I know you're all like, what? Like, where? I don't remember any stand-up in the Gospels, okay? No, he didn't start, you know, John the Baptist and a Pharisee and a Jew walk into a bar. You know, no. You know, the humor of Jesus is just a whole lot subtler than that. But if you read through the Gospels and you read through the words of Jesus, he displays amazing wit. He displays a gift of irony in wordplay, in the parables, and in the stories. He taught spiritual truths using these gifts and the gifts of humor that would resonate and connect with people. Because here's the thing, right? Good storytellers know the value of humor because it connects people. God has a sense of humor. Okay, I'm going to give you a perfect example of this, okay? I was going to be speaking at a women's retreat, and it was the kind of event where there were several speakers. There wasn't just one speaker. And so one of the things we had to do in preparation was we had to give our talk in front of all the other speakers, and then we would positively critique each other. And so the night at the meeting that I had to do mine, I was so anxious. I was so nervous. And I mean, I'm always a little nervous, but it was like I just was like overcome with this anxiousness. And probably because I was thinking I'm going to be up in front of other speakers and they're going to go, really? You do this? You know, so that's what I was kind of like, in, you know, prepping myself for. And so Eric was out of town and I had an hour between work and my meeting. And so I thought I'm going to go through the Zaxby's drive-thru. I'll get the kids some dinner and then I'll get to my meeting. And so I leave work, and I've got my talk, and I'm looking at it, you know, and I'm saying it over to myself. And the more I'm doing this, the more anxious I'm actually getting. And so I go through the drive-thru, you know, I pay the girl at the window, and when she steps away from the window, all of a sudden this older gentleman, like, appears in the window, and I kid you not, he's, like, out the window so that he can talk to me, and he says to me, hey, you sounded really anxious when you were giving your order. And I just want to let you know, everything's going to be okay. Now, you might call that coincidence. Personally, in 40 plus years, I have never had anybody speak into my life from the drive-thru window. And if you have, don't tell me. Because I like to think that was a God moment. Because I was so stewing. I imagine, I mean, I pulled away from there, and I had peace, and I laughed. And I thought, God, you are flipping hilarious. Because I'm thinking, this is God. He's probably thinking, oh, my goodness, oh, myself. She won't listen to me. I've been trying to calm you down. I'm going to have to use a guy at Zaxby's. I mean, I literally pulled away, and I called my sister. I said, oh, my gosh, Jesus just talked to me through the drive-thru window at Zaxby's. God has a sense of humor. I mean, God made man after in his image, right? In his character. You have a sense of humor. We all have a sense of humor. So it would only stand to reason that if God designed us, that he would have a sense of humor as well. I think he gets it. I think he understands it. He did the wiring in our brain where we can find it funny and have some physical reaction. It's an amazing gift because laughter and humor, it helps recalibrate your soul, right? It helps kind of bring you down and bring you at peace. Nature is funny. I mean, look around. God created so many things for us to be amused at. I mean, when you go to the zoo, you go to the monkeys, right? I mean, why? Because they're the funniest ones. I mean, God made them funny. If you've never laughed when you have read the Bible or chuckled or smiled or thought, this is insane, then I challenge you, the next time you read, take a step back and just change your perspective a little bit to include this characteristic of God, that he does have a sense of humor. And it's especially seen in the teachings of Jesus. In fact, there's one where Jesus is talking about, and you've probably heard this one, it's in Matthew 7:4, where Jesus says, how dare you say to your brother, please let me take that speck out of your eye when you have a log in your own eye. Okay, so I just figured, let me do an illustration here for you, okay, or a visual. So I told Eric I needed a 2x4 for my marriage speaking series. And he was like, and can I ask why? I'm like, it's okay, it's a visual, you know, it's my marriage tool. Okay, so this would be, wait, hold on, I gotta get one more thing. Okay, so this would be like me, okay, I'm gonna have this big old plank in my eye. All right, this is you. All right, you've got like a toothpick. All right, you've got like a speck of sawdust in your eye. So I'm going to come up to you. I'm going to be like, hey, Laura, we got to talk. Girl, it's embarrassing. I mean, you've got this thing in your life. People are talking. I mean, you are not a good witness. If you would just let me help you, because I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's got to go. I mean, and I'm just going to help you do that. So come here, come here, come here, come here. Let me get this out of your eye. Come here. I can help you. I mean, that's amusing. Is it not? I mean, Jesus could have said, hey, you guys, don't judge each other because none of you are perfect. Well, that's not fun. That's not going to stand the test of time, right? That's not going to keep a visual in your mind of what that really looks like when we judge others first before we take care of our own garbage. The first time I actually laughed out loud while reading the Bible was in the book of Job. And if you know anything about the book of Job, it is not funny. In a quick recap, Job has everything. So according to the culture and the world standards at that time, you know, he's rich, he's got money, he's got land, he's got servants, he's got lots of kids, he's got heirs. You know, I mean, he has it all, he's good, and he has a strong faith in God. And so the enemy of our soul, which is Satan, he goes to God and he says, you know, the only reason Job is following you is because he's got it so good. You know, I mean, if something bad ever happened to Job, he would curse your name. He would not follow you anymore. To which God replies, you're on. You got a deal. Let's do this. And that's not what he said in those words. That's like my version, the Julie version. It's coming out soon. But he says, let's do this. And so God allows pain and suffering to enter Job's life. His whole family dies, loses all his money, land, everything. I mean, literally had it all, has nothing. One of the first things Job says when all this calamity starts to enter his life is he says, God gives and God takes away. His approach, his faith was so strong that he realized everything was from God anyway. You know, I can't hold on that tight. Now, he had some friends, and so during this horrible stuff, his friends are coming to him, and his friends at times are good. They're encouraging him. They're just listening to him. But then, you know, as things get worse and worse and worse, his friends start saying, Job, you got to curse God's name. I'm telling you, you can't follow. If God loved you, this would not be happening to you. Job, you must have sin in your life. Because God's allowing this to happen to you, so you need to curse God's name. Now, Job, like all of us would do, and we've all done it, right? Job is standing strong, but he's like, why? Why? And if you read the whole book, him and God are having these prayer sessions together, going back and forth, and Job's, why? I need answers. I need to know. And so this is one of the ways God responds to Job in chapter 38, verses 1 through 4. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. And the first time, I had read it many times, but for whatever reason, the one time I read it, it leapt off the page and I went, oh my word, God is sarcastic. That is awesome. I mean, that's like the parent, right? Going to the teenager, you know, that thinks they know everything. Well, my bad. I'm sorry. I just created the whole world here, Job. You're right. I just don't know what I'm doing. God has a sense of humor. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to be amused when you read God's word. That doesn't mean that you don't take it seriously. I mean, I'm the firm believer that what is in God's word is what is in God's word, and it's true and it's right. Now, is some of this stuff absolutely insane? Yes. Is some of the stuff completely ludicrous where we truly think there's no way that could have happened? Yes. But does that mean it didn't happen just because we can't, in our little pea brains, get our logic around it? I believe if God is big enough to have created everything, and if I profess to believe and trust him for my eternal salvation, then I can believe that his Holy Spirit is powerful enough to have guided and inspired the hands of the people that were chosen to write it. And this Holy Spirit would have been powerful enough to be sure that what is in there for a reason. Laughter is a gift from your Creator. God is funny. He wants you to laugh. Marriage is tough, and humor and finding funny in the frustrating, it's going to help you get through those lows a whole lot faster and a whole lot easier. And we should all be doing this. We should all be trying to find the funny and the frustrating at work, with your boss, with your coworker, with your neighbors, maybe a parent relationship you have going on that's really hard, a brother, sister. So whether you're married, you're single, you're young, you're old, whatever, wherever you're at this morning, you know, determined to try to find the funny in the frustrating. And that is actually one of our next steps. So if you'd like to take out your connection card, hopefully one of these will resonate with you this morning. The first one is, I will return next week, which we hope you do, for the wrap-up of the Love Dare series. And the second one is, with the person I love, I will identify the last time that we laughed together and recall that and talk about why it was funny. And for many marriages, this might be very telling, because if you can't remember the last time you laughed together, then you may need to go see Jim Gaffigan. You might need to be a little more intentional about bonding in that way with each other. I will determine to find the funny and the frustrating this week. That's for all of us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you wired us in such a way that you have given us this gift that literally helps our physical bodies, but it helps us in our spirit as well. It helps us, it helps to lighten the load, Lord, mentally. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you that we have a sense of humor. Lord, that you chose to make us in such a way. You did not have to do that. And there is a reason and a benefit for it. Lord, help us to find the funny and the frustrating, because life is hard. Relationships can be very difficult, and we can get hurt very easily. So help us to find the funny. Help us to find those lighthearted moments, Lord. And help us to know your character. Lord, help us to know and learn more about you and who you are, that you love to laugh. Thank you, Lord, that you've designed us and that you want us to laugh, and you want us to laugh with you.